Forest City Church. Anyone and everyone.
Well, good morning, everyone. How y'all doing? Good, good, good. Okay, so I had 12 high school boys at my house last night for an overnight. Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to say, things have changed since when I was a kid. At 9:30 p.m., they rolled into my house. My wife and daughter were like, we're going away for the weekend. So they left. One kid comes in like full-on flash outfit. Another kid comes in, and he just has shaving cream all over him with a leaf blower. And I'm like, what? What is going on? And I'm like, and I don't know. I have no idea. So if you're in high school, please explain yourself to me. But it's interesting is when you have kids, you start praying differently. It's just you sometimes your prayers are a little like, wait, what, Lord? What is going on? But it got me thinking, have any of you had simple prayers that when you actually thought about it a little bit, you were like, should I have really been praying about that? Like, for instance, and I'd love to, you know, I'd like to flip the classroom every once in a while to kind of hear from each of you, or some of you. We don't have time for each of you, but some of you in each of the sections. But I was at the Rose Bowl, and Michigan played Alabama. Only sports reference of today. And it's fourth down, and it's in overtime, and Alabama has the ball at the 3-yard line. And if they score, overtime continues. If they don't, Michigan goes on to the national championship. And I'm sitting there, there's 100,000 of us, majority of the Michigan fans, and I'm in there, and what do? I pray. And I'm literally like, God, I know you don't care, but you know I care. I know it's okay. Oh my goodness. I was like, Lord, I'm being honest. I'm telling you this story. I have this moment where like we win and I'm replaying my prayer. And I was like, okay. And then it got me thinking, like, where else have I done that? And any of you had any moments like where you were driving into Target and you prayed for a parking spot and you're like, what was I really? Like, there's a lot going on in the world, but I'm praying. Any of you have any like vulnerability, because it's a safe space, to share a simple prayer that when you prayed it, you're like, it really meant something in that moment, that after you're like, what was I doing? Anyone or is it just me? Oh, way in the back. That's yes and amen. Yeah. Or praying that the other people will be late too, you know? So that's good. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, cheap seats up there. When your son is up to bat. Yes. Isn't it like, even as a parent, we don't find our identity in our kids, but when they're doing something, you're like, I just want you to have fun. I want you to be successful. It is. And praying. Yeah, I get that. And how does he do? Great. That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, right here. That's awesome. I pray they do not need a price check when I am in a hurry. That is awesome. All right. Winning. Oh, right here. Yes. Days for school? Yes. Yes. Yes, this has been a tough summer or a winter for that. Yeah, Rex. Praying for my debit card works when I use it. So good. That's so good. All right, this side. Come on, anyone. This side's losing right now. Oh, yeah, right there, right there. That. I'm. Yeah, he is. That's good. That is amazing. All right. Well, hey, I love this. And when I think about prayer, I was talking with my daughter, and I was trying to, she was asking questions about, like, prayer. Like, why do you pray? And there's something about when you kind of have the chance to kind of explain it. And I remember Leonard early on when I'd start teaching, he'd sit right there and he'd just scream out every once in a while, make it plain, Doc, make it plain. And I've never forgotten that. Because I think so easily, sometimes when we think about this idea of prayer, it can feel so ethereal. And so what I want to do is I want to make it really, really simple. And just kind of help you see kind of how I laid it out for a 10-year-old and then to dive into the text. And there was something that God showed me this week that I can't wait to show with you all. So here's the thing. If I think about the majority of our prayers, simple prayers, massive prayers, usually what starts our prayer is there's some problem, some kind of like inciting incident. Something happens, right? There's something going on in our life. There's a sickness. We don't have a job. Like there's a struggle, an addiction. There's some kind of problem that happens. And here's the truth. This is kind of like choose your own adventure books, because the truth is oftentimes when we experience a problem, we're gonna go somewhere. And for some of us, we go straight in our problems or our stress to some form of escape, some form of addiction, some kind of struggle. And we say this every time, and Andy reminds us again and again from Philippians, we don't worry about anything, instead we pray about everything. And when you have a problem, you actually have a chance to remember. And when we remember, we start remembering the text. We remember all of the unique invitations to pray, to rest in the presence of God, to bring this before the Lord. And what's often, if you're like me, it's so easy to forget the things we ought to remember and remember the things we ought to forget. And I can get caught up in kind of just remembering how big that problem feels, how insurmountable it feels. But when you start to like have a problem and you remember, oh, wait, God's with me. God's for me. Prayer works. Well, then if you actually go this path, you have a chance to ask the Lord. And in those moments where you just get to actually ask the Lord what you desire. Hey, we heard this last week from Bria when she was talking about intercession. You get to ask and intercede. You get to ask for healing for dear friends. You get to ask for what are the desires of your heart. You get to bring that before a safe and consistent God. But here's what often happens is, for some of us, we just stop here. But what I began to realize, as I'm talking about this with Mercy, my daughter, I started to realize, oh, in this, when you ask, there's also something that happens with the ask. And this is where we surrender. You surrender. There is a sense of surrender in the actual ask, because the truth is we all need help. And in the prayer, we are actually, by our action of prayer and our faithfulness, saying, I can't fix this on my own. I can't change this situation. I can't change the hearts of this person. I can't make them understand. I can't necessarily fix the world's issues and problems. I can't, just through this ask, fix all of the systemic injustices that are happening in our day. So in the sense of asking, there's also this surrender saying, I can't. God can. I think I'll let him. Those are like the first three steps of AA. It's just getting to that moment of like, I can't. Christ can. I think I'll let him. And so there's this sense of surrender. You surrender. But then here's the truth is every situation is different. Isn't that frustrating? Because you could pray the same way and that prayer gets answered. And then you could pray the same way and it doesn't get answered, and you're like, I prayed Ephesians 3 with the same level of urgency as I prayed it in this. Why does one work and why does not? Why does not one doesn't work? And having to like live in the sense of surrender, but recognizing every situation, every circumstance, every time is different. And oftentimes, for many of us, we might remember prayer. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And we might ask, and then we're like holding on to this agenda. And we can't surrender it and actually fully trust it. So we're like, I'm doing this because I'm supposed to, but I'm actually going to like take care of it on my own. Or we get to the sense of like we do surrender, but then we just kind of like give up here. And when I started like just beginning to really play this out, I realized, oh, when you actually have a problem, you remember, you ask, you surrender, recognizing every time is different. And then it's like this waiting to receive. And the receiving is God, and Anne Lamott says it this way, that God's answer to your prayer is going to be three words. Yes, no, and it's four words actually, not now. And so sometimes the answers are yes, the healing is yes. Sometimes it's not now. Sometimes the answer is no. And you've been searching and showing up for that job, and it's just no. 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 Which creates a problem, which then brings you right back to here. How are you going to respond? And yet all of the sense of prayer is this beautiful piece of spiritual formation, of building that safety and consistency and trust with God. For the longest time, I thought prayer was just throw up something and hope it sticks. But the more, even just in this series, the more when Leonard's talking about fasting, and you recognize there's a problem, and you remember, oh, there's an area in my life that's like holding me back from being fully surrendered to Christ, and I'm asking, but man, there's something that I gotta surrender, and I'm actually gonna surrender and walk through this fasting season, and I know everything's different, but I'm gonna receive more and make room for more and more of Christ. And you look at every teach that we've done, in many ways, it's been right here. And what's amazing is that any one of these words, there are points to either stay connected to Christ or to veer off the path. But the more that we have these conversations, these consistent sharing and listening with the Lord, the more that we're going to trust him, the more that our faith will build. But here's what I started to think. I started to walk through all of these passages of Scripture that were these beautiful pictures of prayers. And we could talk about the Lord's Prayer. We could talk about the prayer in Ephesians. We could talk about the Aaronic benediction, the book of Numbers. There's prayers after prayers after prayers. But then it hit me. Have you ever thought about this kind of model, us having a problem, us remembering the power of prayer, us asking God, us surrendering, us recognizing everything is different, and then us receiving what God says? But have you ever seen that thought through God's lens? Like, we pray to God, but have you ever heard God pray for you? Have you ever been like so honest and human with your unique problem? That's as if like ever thought about God actually seeing you and remembering you and beginning to pray words over you and asking that the truths would not just live up here, but they would make their way through your life. That God's actually, in so many ways, as sovereign and powerful and beautiful and mighty as he is, almost surrendering so that you would say yes to receive. And recognizing that every person that it calls and breathes and lives is walking in a different place. And you know what's amazing is some people are like, I don't want Jesus. And God still continues, I believe, to pray, hoping that people would come to receive. And so I started to read, and if you've ever seen this passage from Lamentations, I love it because there's a whole book that teaches us how to lament. But I started to flip through the scriptures and I started to think, where are the verses where God is praying over us? What if we could actually become more attuned to that? The sounds of heaven praying over us. And I saw this verse, and I think it's one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And just sometimes when we think about Scripture, we see it as just like, oh, here's an axiom, here's like some kind of statement. But what if you actually read that verse? Is God actually praying that over you? That the steadfast love you would know in the midst of any problem in your school, in your work, in your family, in your body, in your life, in this church, that the steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. It's like present in the here and now. I was thinking about today being St. Patrick's Day. And some of you, Asa, showing up. Yeah. Yeah. The Macrones over there. I see a little green. Oh, yeah. I see this side dominating the green. Some little over here. Some of you. Okay, a couple people up there. Well done. I'm not, except for a little thing on my bracelet. But did you know the story of St. Patrick's Day isn't just where we turn the river in Chicago green? It isn't just the day because the city of Chicago on the 16th, the day before, when it's a Saturday, loses its mind in various Italian or Irish brews, which makes the Chicago Bears go, this is the perfect day to trade Justin Fields. They knew what they were doing because most people weren't on Twitter or sober. And so there was this whole thought, right? But when you think about St. Patrick's Day, before it was these clovers, Notre Dame fans, before it was like Irish, the story of St. Patrick was that when he was 16 years old, he was in slavery. And he left his family, and he went to actually work the fields and the herds. And in those moments, a problem. 16-year-old being just ripped from his family. Going out to have to work. And there's this problem, but he was a kid of faith. And if you study his life, you begin to realize that all of a sudden he started to remember the Scriptures. And if you study his life even more and you begin to read about him, he began to hear the whispers and promptings of God saying, oh, holy youth, don't forget the ways. And it sustained him so much so that he began in the midst of all of this struggle, he escapes. And he finds himself asking, can I go back to Ireland? And they give him the freedom to go. He surrenders all of what he has built. He ends up going. And you know what he does? He starts churches and monasteries all around the land of Ireland. And he wore this breastplate wherever he went because it was very difficult, very divided times. But if you saw the breastplate, there was a prayer. And many of you have seen this prayer. But I just want you to see these words up on the screen. And these are some of the prayers that were on his breastplate. These are what he would say. And he would say this daily. Christ with me. Christ before me. Christ behind me. Christ in me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Continues on. He says, Christ on my right. Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down. Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. And he would say this daily so that he recognized that every moment he was standing on holy ground, and in any moment where he was standing on holy ground meant that there was redemptive potential, and it was brimming with the power of reconciliation and possibility. This is what the power of prayer does. But imagine if he didn't remember that. And all he had was the problem of being just snagged away from his family. Imagine if he didn't have the courage and the trust to ask, the ability to surrender his one and only life. Recognizing, man, this is a difficult time. But he was able to receive that call and really change the landscape. And his prayers have caught on. Let's go back to the book of Lamentations, though. Because I really believe with the power of Scripture, and we've lost the art of memorization. We could memorize an entire Kendrick Lamar album. We can memorize the entire movie to Top Gun or Dumb and Dumber. We can remember and memorize what some person said in their anger and their hurt. But when I think about this book, it's not just words. These words are inspired. And what that means is it's heaven's breath, breathing life into our soul. It is like God's prayers over us. And I think many of us, if we ended up memorizing a verse, remembering a verse, when we needed it, it would be there. There's a guy that Bria knows, and the Sweets, Jess and Lewis, know because they lived in Holland, Michigan. His name is Ray Vanderlaan. And RVL was the guy who taught me about Jewish roots. It's an old Dutchman, and he spent 6 months of his year traveling Israel and Palestine and Greece and Turkey, teaching and walking in the footsteps of Jesus. The other 6 months, he taught high school students the Bible because Jesus poured into high school age disciples. And this guy, if you were talking to him, and if like I was talking right now to Lewis, like all of a sudden we're this close and he will scream at you. Jess knows. He would just scream, and it's like passion and chutzpah and everything. And the only time you could meet with him is at 5 a.m. at a truck stop outside the city of Holland. And so I show up there, and it's 5 a.m. I am exhausted. I don't do good in the morning. And I'm sitting there, and he's screaming at me. And I'll never forget this moment. I said to him, how do you know the word of God? And he says, every day. And I'm like, I'm right here, man. Every day. Every day I open up this book, a book that is sweet like honey. Every day. And I think about one verse, and I hold that verse, and I stuff that verse into my mouth, and I pray, and I hope it gets into my heart. And I sometimes will forget that verse. And I was like, really? And he's like, yes, but I know it's in there. And when I need it, God will let me recall it. And then he said this to me, how many verses do you know? I was like, 4. And I'll just like in this moment to see a grown man love the word of God. And then he said these words, you will not survive and flourish if you don't receive the inspired word. I was like, all right, I'm going to leave the truck stop now. But I mean, just think about a verse like the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. And I love the word mercy, my daughter's name, but I think sometimes when we think about mercy, we almost see grace and mercy as the same. But they're different. Almost a little bit like they're cousins, but they're different. And when I think about grace and mercy, there's something here. When I think about grace, if you skip just a couple of slides just because I'm running out of time, one more. Grace is what God gives us that we don't deserve. Mercy is what God doesn't give us when we do deserve it. See, they're similar, but they're different. I don't deserve something, and yet God still gives it. And then here's a moment where I do deserve something, and I don't get it. And the power of, like, when you talk about the steadfast love of the Lord, his mercies, they never come to an end. Like, this is a God who's saying, oh, you gotta understand what you thought you deserve. It's always the chance to realize you're free. I remember when I moved to Michigan for the first time from California. Californians, we don't stop at stop signs or red lights. They call it a California roll. And we turn right, and that's what we do. And I remember getting pulled over by a nice police officer in Grand Rapids. And they pulled me over, and they walk up to the door, and I roll down the window, and I'm thinking to myself, how do I get out of this? We've all been there, right? We prayed that prayer. How do I get out of this? And so when the police officer looks at me and says, do you know why I pulled you over? And I'm like, you guys don't have California stops here, do you? She's like, what are you talking about? I was like, you know, where I come from, we don't really stop. We just go. And she's like, you're in Michigan. And I'm like, oh, I know. I should probably, what do you guys call it? The Secretary of State? We call it the DMV. The Secretary of State, there's probably a handbook. I should probably read up on that. And she's like, yeah, you should. I was like, cool, I'm going to take care of that. Thank you so much for the conversation. And she's like, okay. And she walked away. And in that moment, I was like, mercy. And I think this is every single day when we make decisions that aren't in alignment with the way of love, of peace, of grace. And the steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. He's like God saying, I see you. I see your problem. I see the way that you escape. I see your addictions. I see the trauma. I see the hurt. I see that, and I understand why you do what you do. And I'm still going to pour out my mercies upon you, and I'm going to give you the time, and I'm going to give you the space so that you will find a time where you can remember and trust my steadfast love isn't based on what you or don't do. It never ceases. Our mercies are never going to come to an end. And they are new every morning. I mean, isn't that amazing? Like, can you imagine, like, every day you wake up, you're forgiven. You start every morning forgiven. And what's amazing is Father Capone, this amazing theologian, scholar, he says this line, and his genius, he says, did you know that both heaven and hell are filled with forgiven sinners? Just some people have received it and some people haven't. That steadfast love of the Lord is so present. It's just some people choose, like, I don't really need it right now. Imagine what you would happen in your headspace, your heart, your body, your soul, if every morning you woke up and you're like, I'm forgiven. I don't have to carry what yesterday. It doesn't mean I don't have to own what I did and make up and have to, like, repent all that. You can wake up and go, his mercies are new every morning. You try that this week and just watch how much lighter you live. But for many of us, we don't. And so we carry all of yesterday and the day before and the week before and the month before and the year before and the trauma before, and it just holds on to us. But when you can live with that, and that's why the writer's like, great is your faithfulness. You will never meet anyone who is more faithful to your flourishing than God, or his Son, or his Spirit. You will never meet anyone who wants to see you walk freely and lightly more than Christ. I was talking to my friend Sharon this morning, and Sharon was telling me how she's been reading the book of Mark and how she was thinking about how Jesus had the mindset to continue to walk towards the cross. And then she said this. She said, Steve, you, she looks over at her husband, this guy, me, we were on the mind of Jesus, and he had the mindset to think of us, and it's what allowed him to continue moving towards us. Great is your faithfulness. And when we can just see it, not necessarily in some way of like, oh, some mental kind of like history or fact or class, but we can see it as a prayer, God's prayers over us, the steadfast love never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. There's nothing that you will ever be able to do where you can't come home. I tell my son that every day. Nothing that you can do, man. And you can always walk home. You can always show up. And you can always be honest. You can always be. Nothing will ever change that. But even as I say that, it's nowhere in comparison to the new mercies every morning that God provides or the faithfulness of God. And I just have this sense that maybe for some of you today, it's easy for you to look and go, the steadfast love for Andy, the steadfast love for me. Like you don't know what I did. Mercies are new for me each morning, and they never come to an end. They never run out. You'll be faithful to me. And this requires us to actually receive that. I'll tell you what I've learned about prayer is not always are you going to get a yes to what you ask for. A lot of times you're going to get not now. And sometimes you're even going to hear the words no. But what you will never hear no or not now to is the steadfast love to those new mercies. And if you've ever come up front for prayer, you've probably heard me pray my favorite verse, Zephaniah 3:17, which is just simply these words. It's another one of God's prayers over us. And it says, the Lord is with you, which is the name Emmanuel. He is mighty to save, which is the name Yeshua, Jesus, because he takes great delight in you. He delights in you. That's my kid. That's my boy. That's my daughter. They're mine. The delight in you. And then this line, this is so moving to me. He rejoices over you with singing. We just sang songs up to God. Great is your faith. Fullness. That's enough singing for me. But like, that's us singing up to God. That verse says God singing over us. And I think we don't hear heaven's melody. I don't think we hear those prayers. And then the verse ends, and he will quiet you and remind you that you are loved. He will quiet you in those moments of anxiety or worry or fear, and he will remind you of that steadfast love that never ceases. Because what does it do? It ought to ground us and be like, oh, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Here's my challenge for you this week. Memorize a verse. Maybe it's this verse. But don't memorize like Jesus wept, because that's easy. And don't try to like re-memorize a verse you already know. But memorize a verse that's a prayer that God's praying over you. And carry that this week. Hold that. And as you face problems, because you will, remember that word. And because you know that's true, it gives you the confidence then to ask. But ask from a place not of agenda, but a place of surrender. Recognizing that every situation is different, and make yourself available to receive what he has. It's perfect time for the music to come in. They didn't even plan that. And I just think when we start to do that, all of a sudden there's a connectivity with the Spirit, with the Son, and with the steadfast love of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Hey, can we stand? And I'd love to give a prayer over you all, my friends. If you're new here, we got Connect Point, and I know, oftentimes we start making our way out and down, and it feels a little bit like the salmon of Capistrano coming to here, but like, we'd love to connect and introduce you and tell you. Good Friday is going to be awesome. It's just a couple blocks down the road. It's going to be amazing. I hope you'll join us, but would you put your hands out? I'd love to give you a blessing, my friends. My brothers and sisters of Forest City Church, may you know this week that the steadfast love of the Lord isn't dependent on what you do or don't do. It's dependent on what he was willing to do for you. May you know that we don't get what we deserve. Thanks be to God. And every morning you wake up, may you recognize that you have been given another day to breathe, to receive the goodness of his grace, and to walk out that freedom. And may you never forget, never believe the lie that God is not faithful, and that God is not chasing, and that God is not working, and even when you don't see it or feel it, you got to know great is your faithfulness. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he be gracious to you, may he shine his face upon you, and may he grant you, Forest City Church, his shalom. Much love, we'll see you again next week.